This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Valentine's Day is an occasion when two friends might become two lovers. We have a story about some of the complications when the plot heads in the other direction and two ex-lovers try to be friends. The story is told by Ira Glass, the host of a public radio series we like to showcase on Fresh Air called This American Life, produced at WBEZ in Chicago. The theme of this edition was Get Over It.
Well, it was Danielle's cousin Lynn who said it best. She said that Danielle and I had put ourselves into the kind of situation that 1,000 comedies had been built on. Situation comedies, screwball comedies, every kind of TV, theater, movie, drama thing. We had done that. We had done that to ourselves. And how did we not know? Here we were, Danielle and I. We used to be involved, and it was our first time together as just friends. Just friends. Just friends. You know you're in trouble when the word just appears in front of the word friend. I mean, it's almost hard to think of a context where those two words are used together. A sentence constructed... Unless you're using the word just in some radically different way, like, I think the verdict was just, friends may disagree. Like, if they have nothing to do with each other, maybe it's okay. But. Because automatically, you know, it implies a negotiation's happening, just friends. Friends is like a state of being. Friends is like, you know, there's a road, there are houses, people are friends, you know? So when you put just in front of it, it suggests the imbalance. And that's where you get the screwball comedy aspect. All right, I'm going to try to keep the mundane personal information to a minimum here so we can focus on the bigger universal truths this story may offer. Briefly, some facts, though. Okay, Danielle and I had been broken up for half a year. And she lived in New York City, I lived in Chicago, and we talked on the phone several times a week. In other words, that kind of weird post-relationship situation where, you know, there's no more sex, but you sort of depend on each other for all your emotional needs. So, you know, kind of all the work of the relationship, but none of the sheer physical pleasure. That was our thing. Anyway, so 2 days before I came to New York City to visit friends there, real friends, not just friends, just normal friends. And Danielle, she informs me that there's a guy that she had started dating. I like him, she said. I really like him. And then, 2 days later, I found myself in New York City. And, you know, your wish in this kind of situation is you want a sense of, okay, we're going to be friends, it's going to be okay, we're going to see how this new thing between us feels. And we're trying to hang out and be buddies, you know. And that's how we ended up in Saks Fifth Avenue, where the first moment of our screwball comedy weekend occurred. So, you know, we're walking through that big, cold floored Fifth Avenue store and the mannequins everywhere and Anne Klein and Anne Klein 2 and Anne Klein Contemporaries. There are actually three different Anne Klein departments at Saks Fifth Avenue and all the other designers. And it wasn't too crowded and it wasn't too empty. And she was walking ahead of me, just a step or two ahead of me, never quite meeting my eye. And I realized, oh, that's why this has been for like an hour or two, isn't it? When we were walking up the street, it was like that. She wasn't quite meeting my eye. She wasn't quite talking to me. It's like she's holding a certain emotional distance. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up this week. And in each of our histories of love, who has not played both parts in this drama, you know? Both parts. Who hasn't been both people in this picture at one time or another? The person walking a little briskly ahead, not meeting the eye of the other person, and the person walking behind, you know, a little over-eager, a little extra edge of anxiousness, wanting to make the connection, a little bit like an eager puppy. The other person ahead, a little bit put off by the yapping of this puppy, no matter how subtle and dignified and interesting that yapping happens to be, just kind of not wanting to just deal with this, not wanting to face this situation, walking ahead about three paces. Who has not, who among us has not been on both sides of that?
We'll get back to Ira Glass's story after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to Ira Glass's story about becoming just friends with an ex-lover.
So she's looking for clothes. And she has this new guy she's seeing. And she's carrying the clothes. And we're looking for a dressing room. And we find a dressing room. And we stand outside the dressing room. And it's an automatic setup situation. Do I come into this dressing room and watch you try it? She's like, I want you to see these clothes. Okay, do I come into the dressing room? There's something inherently odd and awkward about not coming in. Because, I mean, what is in there that I have not seen before? But there's something inherently awkward about coming in as well. You know, because things have changed. Either way, there's a problem. So we stood there in the door, on the door of this dressing room, and composed the orbits that were riding against each other, right? We looked at the two little orbits and decided, okay, I'll go in. And she takes off her clothes and tries on these clothes. And the clothes she has gotten are the following. There is a little lacy, clingy sort of stretch top of black, kind of like a black lace thing, you know, that you would wear maybe a jacket over to cover your nipples. And so she's got that on. And she's got this little mini skirt. And while we've been walking around Saks, she's been saying, you know, I've got to find a mini skirt. I really need a black mini skirt. She just switched jobs. And so she's trying on this mini skirt, and she's looking very cute. She's looking adorable, you know? And suddenly she's trying on the mini skirt. So we say, honey, you know, you have a mini skirt. You have that black pleated mini skirt. I've seen you in that mini skirt a million times. She says, No. I don't. That miniskirt comes down to here, and she indicates a spot maybe an inch above her knee. I need a miniskirt that's a lot shorter. I need it to come to here. She indicates a spot maybe, I don't know, 6 inches, 8 inches above her knee? 6 inches? A lot higher. And there's a pause, and she looks at me and says, well, I wouldn't wear this to work. So I start to think to myself, what am I doing here? Who are these clothes for? And I picture the guy who she's going out with. And I picture pretty much him looking at the clothes, her trying to look cute in the clothes, her looking very cute in the clothes. I pretty much kind of picture everything you can kind of picture. And I'm sitting down on the chair, this little chair in the dressing room. And so there's Danielle looking adorable in her little clothes and kind of absorbed and looking at it this way and that. And I'm going to try to describe the gesture that occurs next. Imagine tallish sort of guy slumped in this chair, sort of leaning back in this chair in this dressing room. And I hope I can convey this over the radio, what the motion she does next. I'd been feeling like she kind of wasn't seeing me. You know, when we were walking around the store, I felt a little bit ignored, like not seen. And I'm sitting in the dressing room thinking, you know, I should really leave this dressing room. I don't really need to see this right now. And just as I'm thinking this thought, she takes off the miniskirt and she just kind of tosses it onto the chair as if it were an empty chair. But in fact, I'm sitting on it. So she just tosses the skirt onto me. And suddenly she looks up and in horror, actually, I have to say, to her credit, in actual horror, and sees the skirt kind of sitting on my chest because I'm slumped backwards. And so there's this sort of semi-horizontal surface, and this skirt is now sitting on my chest, looking ridiculous. And suddenly she realizes exactly what she's done. And she says to me, oh, no.
You're going to talk about this on your radio show, aren't you? Well, of course, this is my radio show. And by the way, I did get Danielle's permission to talk about this on the radio. Otherwise, I would not be here talking about it with you today. And I bring up what happened between me and Danielle because I think that she and I stumbled upon a few things that happened universally in the get-over-it situation. For one thing, one of the most delicate aspects of this situation is how much information do you want about your ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, you know? Or your ex-whatever's, you know, new whatever. My friend Julie told me a story in Warning that went as follows. She had hungrily devoured every piece of information she could get about one of her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriends. And at one point he told her that the girl had a dog. And somehow, that detail made Julie crazy. It made her feel like, oh my God, this is a person with her life worked out completely. This is a person whose life is so much better than mine. This person has a dog, which means that they have a life that can surround a dog. And the fact that they have a dog means that they're a person capable of love. And it means that they're a person in a stable situation with a home where they can have a dog. And suddenly everything came into question about him and her and the girl. And I wanted to avoid that. But I wanted information. And I don't know exactly why, but there was a powerful herd of stampeding horses within me wanting information. And I found myself asking questions. And I know, listen very carefully to these questions. Listen very carefully, Ira, because whatever it is that you're asking will indicate something about yourself. And the order you ask them will indicate something. You can learn something here. And I listened to this. I said to myself, okay, how old is he? And he's 28. And okay, that one made sense. It kind of, the age difference between Danielle and I had been kind of a big issue. And so I was trying to gauge kind of where this new guy fit into the geography of that old familiar landscape. See, that's part of what this is about. You know, you have this map of an emotional city that you've built with another person, and you want to figure out, well, where are they on the map now, you know? So my second question was going to be, so what's he do? What's he do for a living? Like, you know? But you know how every now and then you'll read an article or somebody at a party will say, you know, isn't it shallow? They'll say, isn't it shallow? Isn't it shallow that when people want to know about other people, the first question they ask is, what do they do for a living? Isn't that so shallow? Doesn't that indicate what a shallow group of people we are? And I thought, you know, I don't want to fall into that trap. You know, I don't want to fall into that trap of just equating people with their jobs. You know, you don't want to think we are our jobs. You know, that's just a shallow sort of thing. So I sidestepped that question and came up with another question. The question I found myself asking, I don't know where this came from, was, is he a Jew? I've been to services, what, once in the last 15 years? Is he a Jew?
I think what I meant by it was, is he a member of my tribe? Is he like me? Is he like me, honey? Honey, you're seeing somebody else. Is he like me? He must be like me if you're seeing him, right? The only person you could be interested in is me, so he must be like me. He was not a Jew.
Now, I would like to tell you, beloved radio listener, that this phase of jealousy and competitiveness passed quickly on my part, that I moved with grace and ease into the world of just friends. I would like to say that. But, you know, one of the rules of getting over it, in fact, maybe the main rule of getting over it, is that you cannot choose the time and place. You know, you cannot will it to happen. You cannot think, okay, now I have the right attitude right now. I'm over it. I'm ready. I'm over it. And it's now. It's like, it's like when Jesus returns. I say this to you as a Jew. It's like when Jesus returns, you know, none will know the exact day or hour. It can come like a thief in the night, the getting over it.
Ira Glass is the host of the public radio series This American Life, which we showcase from time to time on Fresh Air. The series is produced at WBEZ in Chicago and heard on many public stations around the country.